Today I want to speak on the parallel between three very important events that I think are of impact to our lives. Obviously, the crucifixion of Jesus, the Passover of the Exodus, and of course how it applies to what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm calling this message Yeshua, the Passover Lamb. Yeshua, the Passover Lamb. And my wife was reminding me today that we need to let the Scripture do the preaching. I really believe that the Scripture is going to impact you today. As I've been praying for you, I believe this is a message that God gave us for this hour. And so we're going to begin reading from the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to begin with verse 20 of Matthew 27. And it says, Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them, but they shouted, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, for he delivered Jesus to their will. And they were speaking about Barabbas, of course. And then I'm going to skip to verse 26. It says, Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he may bear it after Jesus. There were also two other criminals, led him to be put to death, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen of God. Verse 36, the soldiers also mocked them, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And we know from another gospel that he refused the sour wine because he didn't want to dull his senses. In verse 38, and an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed them, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked them, saying, Do you not fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, or of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What an amazing promise. In verse 44, Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I could spend the entire weekend, even with my limited ability, bringing out significance of the passage that I've just read and all the passages regarding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But today I want to focus on three things. I want to talk about love, I want to talk about substitution, and I want to talk about favor and victory. Love, substitution, and favor and victory, which come together. And I want to say these things apply to all of us who've come under the blood. So I want to talk about number one. He died for love. He died for love. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We also know very famous passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So in this passage that we just read, we see love in the form of tenderness. We see it in the form of forgiveness. We see it in the form of laying his life for those he desires to preserve for eternity, and those that he wants to be in relationship with. That's what he wants. He wants you to be with him for eternity. And while on the cross, Jesus, in the midst of very excruciating pain, he still had the fortitude to say, Father, imagine all the pain that he was going through. The loss of blood, maybe the confusion, the mockery, and yet he still had the presence of mind, the fortitude to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we know that there was two thieves next to him, one who mocked him along with everyone, and one who humbled himself. And it's interesting, there's always two choices in the Bible. Two choices. To mock him, or to humble yourself. To the one who humbled himself, he said, I surely I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. What an amazing promise. And now, talking about Passover, which is the preemptive event for the Exodus, did you know that it is a parallel event to the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua? Look at what it tells us in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. It says that the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. He says that he heard their cry because of their taskmasters, their slave drivers. He says, I know their sorrow. God is saying that to you. I know what enslaves you. I know what your sorrows are. I know what you're going through. I've heard your cry. But listen, the true taskmaster for Jesus is sin. Jesus said, whoever sins becomes a slave to his sin. And I know that some of us today are enslaved by our sin, to sorrows and to fear. And even though God's original intent, like we see in Jeremiah 29:11, was to give us a hope and a future, not to harm us, all of us have suffered the consequences of our sin, of our bad decisions, of our rebellion towards God. But you know, love's greatest expression is to give. And the greatest form of giving is to give your life for someone else. The Bible says that greater love has no man than this, than someone who gives his life for his friend, for someone else. But Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, I have not come to be served, but to what? But to serve. And to give myself as a ransom for many, as a payment. That is the epitome of love. Hebrews 12, verse 2 also says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It was always out of love. It was always out of compassion. Even when we're yet sinners, Jesus reached out to us. And he says, I know they can't make it on their own, so I'm going to do whatever is necessary to redeem the people that I've created, to redeem the family that I want to spend eternity with. He has done it for you and I. I want to tell you that God loves you more than you will ever comprehend on this side of eternity. He understands your suffering, and a time is coming, and now is, that he's making provision for your salvation and for your healing. For your salvation and for your healing. It's interesting that the word in the Greek for salvation is so-so, but it's also the same word for healing. Because what Jesus purchased at the cross is not just our salvation, and it's not just a one-time event. It's a continuous salvation. It's a continuous redemption. It's a continuous restoration. It's a continuous healing of our lives. And it's all out of love. The second thing I want to talk to you about today or tonight is that he died as a substitution. He died as a substitution. It is interesting that it was customary that Pilate would release a prisoner during the Passover. But none of the events of this particular Passover in Jerusalem were incidental. They were designed to a T. God allowed for a man named Barabbas to be there apprehended. And what was Barabbas? Well, first of all, he was an insurrectionist. What is an insurrectionist? It's somebody who wants to be free with his own strength, with his own power, with his own will. But as we have found out, or most of us have found out, we can't be set free on our own. We need someone to set us free. The name Barabbas itself, in the Aramaic, Bar Abba, it means son of a father. You think this is incidental? It is not. What does it mean? Barabbas is every man. Barabbas is every woman. He's the son of a father. He's the daughter of a father. Barabbas represents you and I. And he had a substitution made on his behalf by Jesus. God chose him, a sinner, to represent us. So that everything that Jesus deserved, his kingship, his honor, his authority, his healing, his joy, his peace, we would receive. But on the other side of this argument, Jesus received everything you and I deserved. Jesus was the substitution. And let me tell you, in the original Passover, there was a foreshadowing of this very thing as well. Check this out. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 3 to 13. I'm going to let the word speak to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. And he was put to death. His blood was bled for our behalf. And it says verse 4, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Come on. Jesus is the only one without blemish. A male of the first year. He was the firstborn. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. The Lamb of God was killed at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. It speaks of readiness to be set free. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Listen here, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. I'm going to pass over your house. I'm going to pass over your life. I'm going to pass over America. I'm going to pass over the people of this world that are suffering. And I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, let me just say something about judgment. The Bible says that we were not made unto wrath. We were not made for wrath. The people of God, we don't have judgment coming to us. We do have shaking. We do have sifting. We do have pruning. We do have discipline, but we don't have judgment. We don't have chastisement. That is for those who will not humble themselves, those who will mock the name of Jesus, those who will not receive the name of Jesus. But to all of us, the Bible says that as we've applied the blood of Jesus, come on, the angel of death is going to pass over our house. And it says, and the plague will not reach your house. Look what it says right here. And will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. First of all, the Bible says that without the spilling of blood, there's no remission of sins. It was necessary that Jesus' blood was spilled. Why? I don't understand it. God designed it that way. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. In the spiritual, it is very important, you know, the blood, especially the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He was perfect in all his ways. So he became the perfect sacrifice. So when he died and his blood is applied to us, come on, then our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be, you know, forgotten and removed. And remove the enmity between God and us. Between God and you. Between me and God. Hallelujah. And it says, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And I want to say that this is a prophetic thing. God is saying, if you are under the blood, if you're proclaiming the Lord's death, if you're, you know, if you receive the sacrifice of Jesus, you've honored the sacrifice of Jesus, God makes this promise to you, the plague will not reach you. It will not reach your family. You will always be taken care of like it were. If you remember when the original Passover occurred, they will hunker down. They were told to stay indoors. And we've been indoors for many days. But I'm telling you, something's happening inside, because even as we've applied the blood over our homes and as we're celebrating communion today, God is being honored. And the plague is going to pass you by. You know, communion is not just a symbolic event. It's a powerful event that brings healing, that brings restoration. It is a way to reset us. You know, most of us, we begin to walk away from the cross. You know, with the wear and tear of every day, with the routines of life, we begin to forget about Jesus, about God, what he's done for us. But when we focus again on the cross, and that's why we have this cross right here, to remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus, and to remember that we did not deserve to be substituted and to receive the life that Jesus has. And the last point that I want to make is that he died to give us favor and victory. He died to give us favor and victory. In the passage in John 19:30, it states, so basically in another gospel where it speaks about this very thing, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. But he said, it is finished. And the word there in the Greek, in the original manuscripts in the Greek, is tetelestai. Tetelestai, which means it is finished. And it has a number of meanings to you and I today. For example, tetelestai would be something that a servant would say to his master when he had completed his work. Jesus, the servant of the Father, said, I've done my work. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is also something that a judge would have said when a sentence was passed and justice had been served. Tetelestai. Payment in full. The consequences of sin are no longer over you. It is finished. Also, interestingly enough, it was a Roman saying after winning a battle. Hallelujah. They would say, it is finished. After conquering a people, it is finished. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says that Jesus led captivity captive, and it says that he made a public spectacle of his enemies. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, you may believe he went into hell. You know, he preached, you know, to all those that he had died, that died in faith, you know, and his payment was made retroactive. People like Abraham and people like Moses and people that, you know, had died, you know, previous to this moment, They received the sacrifice of the blood upon themselves. And it says that they were given salvation and restoration and redemption. But to all his enemies, all the demons that had mocked him, it says that he made a public spectacle of them. He was able to say, I have conquered you. I have victory over you. It is finished. Tetelestai. The last thing is that Jesus was declaring, I have done away with an old covenant under the law. And today begins the new covenant under grace. That is not by what you deserve, but is by what I have done for you. I have paid the price for you. Hallelujah. It is finished. Because all those who live by faith are justified. All those who live by faith are justified. The enemy thought he had Jesus and humanity beat when Jesus died on the cross. He was probably celebrating early. Come on. He had a little dance, but he didn't realize that Jesus would claim victory that would release favor upon our lives. God's payment was sufficient for us, not just to survive, but I want to tell you, God called us out to thrive, to live life to the full. He says, I've given you life to the fullness. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus wants for you, and what he has already secured for you, you just got to grab it by faith. And in the Passover story, listen to this, in Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and I'm almost done here, it says, God told him this, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from there. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Come on, Jesus' sacrifice is a once and for all deal. But it says here, speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask for his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in the sight of the people. Did you know that Moses is a type of Christ, the deliverer, the redeemer? But he intended to not just deliver them from Egypt, but it says for them to go out with plunder, to go out with favor, to go out with victory, leaving there with great blessings. And I want to tell you, the prophets are all announcing that this will be a special Passover. We just sang about it, that what the enemy has meant for evil, he's going to turn around for your good. You just need to stand in faith and stand in the peace of the Lord. And God's going to deliver his people. And there's going to be great victory. And there's going to be great favor for his people. God is going to plunder the enemy. And he's going to give great riches. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about, you know, just treasures. I'm talking about every kind of blessing that you can think of. But especially favor for a great harvest. Favor for a great harvest, for a great multiplication. Because when the people left Egypt, they ended up going to the promised land. And God is calling us to a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey, not just to barely survive, but to thrive. Not just to survive, but to thrive. That is what Jesus purchased us at the cross. He did it out of love. He did it as a substitution. But he did it to win us favor and victory. The Bible says that we are joint heirs. We stand with Jesus Christ together in heavenly places. And he has allowed you to speak with your mouth because, you know, he has put his name on you and you belong to him, so that whenever you speak, it's as if he was speaking. And you declare blessing upon your family. You can declare blessing upon your community. You can declare blessing upon our nation. Come on, we need to be lifting up our president and his cabinet and declaring that this plague is going to end any minute now. Hallelujah. We declare God's delivering power over our nation, even at this hour. Even the day that we remember Jesus' sacrifice and we honor him, what better way to honor him than for us to stand in faith, for us to stand believing and to honor his sacrifice. Hallelujah. What has overcome the world? Even our faith. What has overcome the world? Even our faith. Hallelujah. The righteous are justified by faith. Hallelujah. The righteous will live by faith. God is on the scene. Keep your eyes on him, for his deliverance is coming. His deliverance is coming. And I finish with this, John 1:12. It says there that he came to his own, the Jews, the ones that were supposed to be awaiting the Messiah. But it says right there, but his own did not receive him. But to all who received them, he gave them the power to become the children of God, that the angel of death would pass over and that they would be made free and live for eternity with him. He loves you. He's a perfect substitution for our sins, for our sickness, for our pain. He took upon himself the full payment so that you and I would not just survive, like I said, but to be treated like the Son, with favor, authority, and victory over our enemies.